It's the will of God for us to prosper so that we can fulfill the covenant. Father God said, I give you power to get wealth so that I can establish my covenant. And he does that through us.
I know my God has made the way for me. I know my God has made the way for me.
Today on this special rebroadcast of the Believer's Voice of Victory, join Kenneth Copeland and Frederick Price as they help us understand the mission of the church, which is to share the love of God with a lost and hurting world. Now, here's Kenneth.
Hello, everybody. Wednesday's edition of the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast is on the air. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We give you praise and thanksgiving. You have made the way for us to come together as believers on this radio and television broadcast all over this world. And we give you the praise and the thanksgiving for it. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Fred Price is with us again today. Praise the Lord. Brother Fred, God bless you, sir. I'm like you are. When you get into the Word and you start feeding on it, I get excited, man. I just get thrilled with what God's done for us.
Amen.
Now, we've talked about that faith begins where the will of God is known. We've talked about the fact that it is God's will for us to prosper. We've talked about, was Jesus or the disciples poor in Jesus' earthly ministry? Definitely not. No. Now, all of these things are right out of the Word of God. This is not Brother Fred and my ideas. These come right out of the Bible in more than just an isolated verse of Scripture here and there. This is the continual theme of God's Word from Genesis to Revelation. Now, let's get over into this, Brother Fred. How did Jesus do this? How did he make this? How did he make it where we can, let's put this into today's surroundings, today's situation. How can I, as a believer, I've seen people are losing their jobs and they're getting laid off and all of that that's going on all around us. How did he do this for me? And how can I get hold of it and believe my way out of this mess and believe my way through this thing? I don't believe, in fact, I know this. If I know anything in my being, I know this. God didn't intend for all of this stuff to happen in the first place. It comes because of our own stupidity that everybody thinks they're smarter than God, and so they won't do what he said, and of course it goes down a drain. But what did Jesus do, and how did he get this thing to us?
That's an interesting prospect. Let's look at Galatians chapter 3. And look at some things that the average Christian, they don't have a clue about. Because I didn't for years until I got clued into it. And I was just overwhelmed when I saw it, how simple it was and how clear it was revealed in the Word. But if you don't know, if you haven't been instructed, if you haven't been taught, and if you don't lend yourself to the Word where the Spirit of God can bring revelation to you, you can just go through your whole life just struggling. Now,
go ahead.
Okay, Galatians chapter 3, very familiar verses 13 and 14. It says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Not Christ is redeeming us. Christ has. The tradition says hath, which is past tense, meaning it's a done deal. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Now, in searching the Scriptures, we know that the curse of the law was poverty, sickness, and death. Poverty, sickness, and death. and Christ has redeemed us from it, meaning he bought us back from it. So those three things no longer have legal right to my life. They can only enter if I allow them to enter. And usually that comes by a consent of ignorance, not knowing that I don't have to. So I figure, well, this is what happens. So you yield to it and Satan takes advantage of it. So Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Verse 14, that the blessing. Now, I like to do this right at the end of the 13th verse. It says, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, comma. Then I like to put S-O. There's enough space.
Yeah.
So it kind of just drives it home. So it would read like this. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, so that.
Yeah.
So this is why. So that. So that what? So that the blessing, not the curse, but the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, we have to ask the question then, he did this so that the blessing of Abraham might come. So now we have to find out, what was the blessing of Abraham? Well, I like to do it this way. Sometimes to know what a thing is not is as equally important as to knowing what it is.
Yeah.
So let's start out finding out how Abraham was not blessed.
That's good.
How he was not blessed. Because it said that the blessing of Abraham, that's amazing. Why does he tie us in with Abraham? I don't know Abraham. I never met the man. Why does he tie us into that? Well, look at that same chapter and look at verse 7. It says, therefore know, not think, but therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. So we know that this is not talking about biological sonship, because Abraham is not our father biologically.
That's
so it's got to be talking about spiritual values. So he ties us together with Abraham. Therefore, know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. Then verse 9, so then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham, or as the tradition says, faithful Abraham. Blessed with. If I told you, I said, you know, Ken, I went to the mall yesterday to buy a tie. I went to the mall to buy a tie. What would that tell you? It would tell you I went by myself. But if I said, you know, Betty and I went to the mall, that meant I didn't go by myself. I went with my wife. So if I am blessed with faithful or believing Abraham, then I need to know how was Abraham blessed so that I'll know I'm blessed with him.
Has to be the same blessing.
Same blessing. Got
to
be the same.
It has to be in the same amount.
Everything's got to be the same.
Yeah, I see.
Okay. Now, how was Abraham blessed? Let's find that out. Let's don't speculate. Let's find out how he was blessed. Because some people want to make all of the promises in the new covenant, they want to make them spiritual. Oh, yes, Brother Price, that's spiritual. Yes, yes, we'll get ours on the other side when we get to glory. But right now, it's all spiritual. Well, that might sound reasonable. If you look at the body of Christ in totality around the world, it would seem like it must be spiritual, because most Christians are certainly not enjoying anything physically or materially. But let's find out what the Word says. Genesis chapter 12.
I love it. I do love it.
How was Abraham blessed? Because remember, we're blessed with him. So when I find out how he was blessed, that tells me how I'm supposed to be blessed, because I'm blessed with him.
I see that.
Okay? All right. It says here in Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. So at the time he told him to leave, he didn't know where he was going. He said, I will. He didn't say, I am showing you, which would be right now. He said, I will. The first thing you got to do is leave. Then I'll show you. Okay, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Well, we know ultimately that's referring to Christ, because everybody has the opportunity to become a child of God. But now watch this. Verse 3, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now, that's great. It tells us that God is going to bless. Abraham by his obedience to leave. But it really doesn't say anything about the content of the blessing in those particular verses. So we move over and transition to chapter 13. Verse 1, then Abram went up from Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot, his nephew, with him to the south. Abram was very rich. He wasn't rich. He was very rich.
Very rich.
And then thank God, the Spirit of God put this in here. No unbelieving preacher or priest or nobody can cheat us out of this. He tells us specifically how he was blessed. Abram was very rich in livestock, in silver, and in gold. That's not spiritual. It's material.
And you can't, listen, that wasn't just after he got to heaven either.
No way.
No, because he ain't taking this stuff to heaven with him.
No.
Oh. No.
He wasn't rich. He was very rich. And
very
then
rich.
It specifies in livestock, in silver, and gold. So watch it. If I'm blessed with Abraham, I got to be blessed with livestock, silver, and gold.
Yes, sir.
And I got some cows down here in Texas. It belonged to me. They're being taken care of for me.
Praise.
Livestock.
Amen.
And I got silver, and I got gold, and I'm going to get some more of it.
Amen.
Because
and
that's
do
what
something
it
with it.
Well, that's the whole
praise
point.
God. You,
notice, remember what he said here about
that's,
Abraham. He said, I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. You can't be a blessing to someone else until you're blessed yourself. You can't give what you don't have.
No, you remember, Fred, this brings up into my mind, James was raised in the house with Jesus. He's his half-brother.
Okay.
And he said, it doesn't do any good to tell a man, be warm, dear brother.
Be fed.
Give him something. Put a coat on his back and put food on his table. That's our responsibility.
But we got to have it in order to give it.
You can't do it.
And the world system
stirs me up.
The world system is designed to keep it from you. And if we don't learn how to operate outside the system legally in God's plan and purpose, we're going to be just like the rest of them.
Or
going
worse.
Down the tubes. Or worse, exactly. So we've got to follow the word. Abraham was blessed, and oh, I love it, in livestock, silver, and gold. Now, again, that does not tell us specifically. We know it, and we believe it, but it doesn't specifically say that God did it for him. We assume that he did. But let's look at something else. Let's look at something else. Let's put icing on the cake. I like that icing business on cake.
Man.
Okay. Go now to 24, Genesis 24. Genesis 24. Now, this one, you got to hire somebody to help you misunderstand and pay them overtime. This is good. I say it this way. If a Christian can't get it from this, then he's either deaf, dumb, blind, or dishonest. And I have to leave it to him as to which one. Because this is plain as the nose on your left foot. Okay. Okay, Genesis 24. Now, this is the story, make a long story short, this is the story of Abraham and Sarah seeking a wife for the son Isaac. Mm-hmm. So Abraham took his favorite servant, his chief man, sent him out, told him where to go to get a son. That was the way it was done in those days. So this man went out, prayed when he got by a well, prayed that the Lord would direct him and so forth and so on, and he did. And finally he ends up in Abraham's relative's home. And in verse, he met Rebekah at the well, and he ended up in their home. And then verse 29 says, now Rebekah had a brother whose name was Laban. And Laban ran out to the man by the well. So it came to pass when he saw the nose ring and the bracelets on his sister's wrist, and when he heard the words of his sister Rebekah saying, thus the man spoke to me, that he went to the man, and there he stood by the camels at the well. And he said, come in, O blessed of the Lord. Why do you stand outside? For I have prepared the house and a place for the camels. Then the man came to the house, and he unloaded the camels and provided straw and feed for the camels and water to wash his feet and the feet of the men who were with him. Food was set before him to eat, but he said, I will not eat until I have told about my errand. And he said, speak on. So he said, I am Abraham's servant. The Lord has blessed my master greatly, and he has become great, and he, the Lord has given him, my master, flocks, those flocks, herds, silver and gold, male and female servants, and camels and donkeys.
God gave it to him.
Yeah.
Yes,
now,
sir.
Now, watch this. The servant, as far as I can tell, was not an Israelite. He was a servant. But how did he know that God blessed him? I tell you how. He knew because Abraham told him. That's why when we tell a good report of what God has done for us, and these gainsayers and naysayers, they say we're bragging. We're not bragging. We're trying to tell you how this came to pass,
sir,
so that you can get in on it. He said, the Lord has blessed my servant.
God's no respecter of persons.
No respecter of persons.
That means that they have as much right to it as you and I do.
Absolutely.
But. You got to do it God's way because it's His stuff.
It's His stuff. There it is. There it is. So through Christ, we're tied in with Abraham because he's called the father of the faithful, because he was a man without a covenant at that time, took God at His word and did exactly what the Lord told him. And God blessed him as a result of it. And he's called the father of the faithful.
You know, Fred, while listening to you, it brought my memory. I'm thinking about where I was when I found this out.
Mm-hmm.
And I did not have a clue under God's heaven about anything, much less about how to do it. But just like Abraham, and God said, first thing you're going to have to do is step out of where you are and go where I tell you.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not going to do nothing for you till you do. And that's the shape I was in. I didn't have a clue where I was going, friend.
Mm-hmm.
But when I first saw it, I thought, dear Lord, I don't know how you do this, but I know this. It belongs to me.
That's it.
And we just stepped out on it, praise God. Not only broke, we is way below broke. We passed broke long time before Glory and I ever accepted the Lord as our Lord and Savior.
I've been there and done that, my brother.
And we had no, just stepped out there saying, glory to God, it belonged to Jesus, then it's mine.
It's mine.
And it's been that way now for 42 years, one step at a time. And you still have to do it that way. You can't just rely on what you already know.
No.
You have to keep moving, though.
Constant.
Keep
constant.
Walking on out there.
Keep going.
Man,
keep
that's
going.
Exciting. That means that you, whoever you are, wherever you are, and I don't care what is involved in your life, step out. Step into the things of God. Just take hold of, well, Brother Copeland, I don't know what to do now. Well, hey, that's what we're talking about. What do? The very first thing you do is trust God. He's worthy of your trust. And Jesus is your Lord, and He's no respecter of persons. He's done it for Brother Fred and me, did it for Abraham, and He'll do it for you. Praise God.
Amen.
Stirs me up, man.
It works.
Absolutely.
It works. And this part here, the reason he mentions the livestock, the flocks, the herds, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, all those are material things. They're not spiritual. They're material things for here in this earth realm. But again, it is the channel through which Father God works to bring not only salvation to the world, but also prosperity to them. Because He's not poor. As a father, you don't want your kids to have less than you have. You want them to have, actually, exceed you, excel.
Sir. Yes, sir.
So He's our Father. He doesn't want us poor. But He has to let us be poor, and He has to let us suffer through it if we do. Because He doesn't control it. We do by our lack of knowledge and or knowledge and obedience and or lack of obedience. That's what controls it. Not the devil and not the Father. It's up to us.
Yes, sir.
And when I found that out, I loved it because now the ball's in my court. I can't alibi out and say, well, it was because my father left my mama with five kids with no father in the house. And I came up in the ghetto and I didn't get to go to school. Forget all that mess,
yeah,
man. Get with the program.
That is no hindrance to the Word of God.
Not at all. Not at all.
If it was, it wouldn't anybody prosper, less Jesus.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. So it's the will of God for us to prosper so that we can fulfill the covenant. Father God said, I give you power to get wealth so that I can establish my covenant. And He does that through us. He does that. Jesus said two things He came to do, two primary things He came to do. And all of it cost megabucks.
Yes, it does.
It costs megabucks. And you know what? The only people that are going to be able to finance it are us, the Christians. I mean, I've sent several letters to the Godfather in days gone by asking him, will you please make a contribution to our ministry? We need a little bit of money over here, Godfather. Hey, he never even responds. He doesn't even send me a letter back. I even check with Costa Nostra. Same thing. So they're not going to do it. So if the people of God don't do it, it's not going to be done.
No, it's not going to get done.
Not going to get done. Because Father can't, he can't drop it out of the sky. He'd be arrested as a counterfeiter. Some people have this crazy, oh, God can do anything. No, he can't. He can't counterfeit money.
No.
He'd be arrested. If you don't think so, make you some money and see how far you go. I'll put you in a slammer quick. So he's got to come through us. That's why he allows us to be blessed, so that he, through us, can give direction for his purpose and plan.
You know what that just stirred up in me? You remember, and Jesus said, if you only give to your own family, or you only give to somebody you know, your friend,
yeah, right.
Then what thank have you? Well, thanks for... who's supposed to be thanking me? I got that on my mind, and I thought, what are you talking about, Jesus? What thank have you? Well, then the old religious idea came up, well, your reward in heaven.
Oh,
well,
yes.
Yeah, but that doesn't that. No, if that's what he meant, it's what he said. I said, what are you talking about? And after a while, boy, it hit me. That's the Lord asking me, how can I thank you when that's all you do? I said, well, why would you be looking to me anyway? He said, the guy that you don't know, and the guy on the street, and he reminded me of the Good Samaritan. Mm-hmm. I mean, here's a guy that's hurting. You don't know who he is.
That's
you
right.
know what he is. But you decide to give to him. He said, Kenneth, I can't get through to those guys. They won't listen to me. But you can reach them. You can go help them. Yeah. You can reach your hand out to them. You can give them some money. You give them opportunity. You can do these things. You can help them. And he said, that's when I said, thank you, Kenneth. I've been trying to get to that guy all this time.
That's right.
And now you've opened the door for blessing.
Yeah.
Oh, Fred, awesome. I got so thrilled. And it's the most thrilling part of life there is. The most thrilling part of life is not a new boat or something like that. That's just side issues, and that's nice and all that, but that's not joy unspeakable. Joy unspeakable is when you can go put your arm around some old boy. Joy unspeakable is when Gloria and I were sitting in a restaurant and a young man came up, nice-looking young man, came up to our table, and he kind of was startled there for a second, tears running down his cheek. He said, I was in prison, and you're the people that taught me how to live. Now I'm bawling, she's bawling, he's bawling. You know, glory to God. Hey, man, now that's what life's all about. And we're out of time, man. I wish you'd fix your clock, boy. We'll be back in just a moment.
In these economic times, are we as Christians supposed to prosper? The answer is yes. The Word says that you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the power to get wealth. God knows what lies ahead, and He has given everything we need to see us through to victory. He wants us to prosper in every area of our lives, and that includes our finances. Frederick Price has written a powerful book, Prosperity, Good News for God's People. This book gives sound biblical advice concerning God's plan for us to prosper.
There are no quick fixes as such, other than fixing your mind.
Do you know the difference between the world's prosperity system and God's prosperity system?
Hey, it isn't over. You get a hold of God's word and you press in there, praise God.
Prosperity, good news for God's people. To order your copy of Prosperity, Good News for God's People by Frederick Price, log on to our website at kcm.org and order online. This dynamic new book reveals God's design and purpose for increase and is now available for just $15. To request your copy by phone, call 800-575-4455. or you may write to us at Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas, 76192. Order your copy today.
I want to ask you something. Do you have any idea where you stand with God right now? God loves you. He cares for you. It's not based on you. It's based on Jesus. The very love He has for Jesus, He has for you. And He so loved the world that He gave Jesus. Now, are you getting this? He gave Jesus as a gift to you and me. Now, Jesus said, I'm the door. I am the door. And to you today, the door is open. I want to read this to you. If you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart man believes to righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. This is where it begins. All of this is laid up for you, but you have to come on into the kingdom of God, and Jesus is the way. So just pray this. Just pray it out loud with Brother Fred and me right now. We're going to lead you in this. And all you have to do is believe it in your heart. Jesus has done all the work, but He's not going to pray your prayer for you. That's your choice, your will, and your faith. Just pray this. Oh, God in heaven.
Oh, God in heaven.
I believe with all my heart.
I believe with all my heart.
Jesus has been raised from the dead.
Jesus has been raised from the dead.
Everything I need is in Him.
Everything I need is in Him.
So Jesus, come into my heart.
So Jesus, come into my heart.
I receive You.
I receive You.
As my Lord and my Savior.
As my Lord and my Savior.
I repent of sin.
I repent of sin.
I renounce the past.
I renounce the past.
I renounce the devil and all he stands for.
I renounce the devil and all he stands
for. Fill me with Your Spirit.
In Jesus'
name, amen. Praise God. If you prayed that with Brother Fred and me, get online, call, do whatever you need to do. I want to send you these five little books to help you get started reading your Bible. I'll send them to you free and postpaid. That's your Bible. It's God's Word to you. Get hold of it. God love you. We'll see you tomorrow. Until then, remember that Jesus is Lord.
Thanks for watching The Believer's Voice of Victory. If you've made a decision to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the blessing is at work in your life right now. Be sure to request your free salvation package from Kenneth and Gloria Copeland online at kcm.org. Come to these exciting meetings. A Behind the Mission Weekend with Stephen Kelly Swisher is February 19th and 20th, 2010 in Scottsdale, Arizona at the DoubleTree Paradise Valley Resort. You're invited to join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland for the 2010 Branson Victory Campaign, March 4th through 6th at Faith Life Church in Branson, Missouri. For more information, call 800-600-7395 or visit our website at kcm.org.